So what I'm understanding here, correct me if I'm wrong, is that you're not giving me any money. So now I'm left basically with nothing. I'm left with zero, which what can I do with zero? You know, what can I can't do anything with it. This is my life here we're talking about. We're not just talking about, you know, something else. We're talking about my life, you know, and it's forcing me to do something I don't want to do. To leave and say, no way, Corky, you're not putting up with these people, and I'll tell you why I can't put up with you people, because you're bastard people. That's what you are. You're just bastard people, and I'm going home, and I'm gonna bite my pillow is what I'm gonna do.
Hello and welcome to episode 7 of the SweetFeatheryJesus.com podcast. I'm Belasco, I'm your host and the admin of SweetFeatheryJesus.com. You know, one of my toughest jobs in putting together this podcast is deciding what to leave in and what to take out, because oftentimes there have been so much good stuff that I've had to take out either because of continuity or time restraints, and it's just kind of a bummer when I have to do that. So I thought I would take some of those previous podcasts and pull together some of those moments that I wished I could have left in, but just couldn't because of either time or continuity restraints. So, coming up, you'll hear portions of myself and Dr. P, the Sav, Booze, and even Rob Revere talking about some of the things we've discussed in previous podcasts. I hope you enjoy it.
As a matter of fact, I don't have the balls to have the balls to have the balls snipped. So,
you'll have more kids than did.
My wife is going to have have a tubal done, as a matter of fact, in 2 days. So,
man, a lot can happen in 2 days.
Well, I had a baby. Sure, she had a baby 2 weeks ago, so I can't touch it. That don't stop me from taking care of it myself, though. So
I'm not sure you even have to touch it at this point.
Yeah, really. I think you've got some kind of force field around you.
Strike once.
I'll kiss a girl and knock her up.
So, you know, so you're a Tampa Bay fan. You've got 10 kids, most of which are sons. Only thing I can say is don't ever hose sand out of their crack in the front yard. It'll just cause problems.
Yeah.
Now, why do you say that? Because think about it.
There's a radio show called Ron and Fez.
And, all right, I'm familiar with Ron and Fez.
Fez is from Pinellas Park, Florida.
Me too.
and he is he's full of neuroses and problems, and all of which seems to stem out of the time they came back from the beach and his dad hosed sand out of his naked ass right there in the front yard.
In the driveway with the neighbor kids across the street laughing at him.
Yeah.
That played a part too.
And he was 17 years old at the time.
It's happened to me.
Hey, this is Rob Revere. You're listening to the SweetFeatheryJesus.com podcast. I just got you pregnant.
I was dating this girl. Hell, I could say her first and last name. Not like she'll ever listen. We'll call her Laura because that's her name.
Laura what?
And I was dating Laura, and, you know, we were like a year into the relationship, I suppose, and had a very healthy sex life. But she always was horny when we would wake up in the morning. And, you know, sometimes, especially if I was drinking, you know, tired, morning wasn't my time. It was the evening. But, you know, we had a very healthy sex life. You know, our physical thing was solid. But I had picked up a crate of videos. And it was mostly like dog training videos and stuff that were in my mom's basement from me moving a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And I was digging through them when I got them. And I found a VHS copy of Sex Boat.
Sex Boat?
Yeah, that was the name of the film. And it was a bunch of girls who were like reformed school girls and in trouble who were sent on this cruise to be away from men.
Hot.
But Yeah, but a couple of the dudes dressed up as girls and slept on the boat. And there was a lot of fucking going on. And I'd seen this thing many, many times, you know. It was like the only porn I'd owned, you know, outside of...
What year are we talking about here, Dr. Pate?
Huh?
What year are we talking about?
Oh, I'd say 93, 94.
Really? That late?
Yeah, DVDs were already out. And that was a thing. So I don't know the year, but I'm thinking, I know the house and apartment I lived in. It was in that time period. Yeah. Okay. But I had this old fucking crate of VHS tapes. Had no idea I had a porn tape in them. But digging around, I realized there were sex boats. And I found it that night. And she waited table. So she got home from work, and I had everything stashed away. And, well... We went to bed, did our thing. Not sex, but you just scratch up. The next morning, she was all on me, rubbing on me, and I'm like, you know, I don't feel good, you know. And I totally blew her off. And she went on to work. I open the closet, pull out the box, dig up sex boat, and throw it in the VCR, start jacking it. I turned down sex to beat off the sex boat, which I've probably seen 112 times in my adolescence, okay? Here's where it gets good. I got caught.
Wow.
She fucking forgot her phone or wallet or some shit. She came home like 15 minutes after leaving, and I was like, just... splayed out on the couch watching a fucking porno, jacking it. And, you know, the front door opens right to the couch. And, oh, shit. Fuck, what am I doing? No explanation. And, you know, seriously, I think she would have been cool with it, but she was so pissed because she tried to fuck me that morning. And I turned her down to jerk off the fucking sex boat.
I can see that, though. I can see, you know, your logic, you know, because it's a lot quicker,
yeah.
You know, just to get that out of the way then. Plus, there's no, like, crying afterwards.
Yeah, which I'm used to experiencing. Yeah. I about want to just segue and talk about coke experiences. Either you guys ever do coke?
Yeah.
I have not.
Never tried it?
Never tried it.
Alaska never tried the coke.
Lynn bias thing kind of turned me off to trying it.
Yeah, it did me too, but I realized I'm just...
Sorry?
There was a basketball player for NC State named Lynn Bias.
That was Maryland.
Maybe you're right. Maybe it was Maryland.
I think Lefty Giselle was really busted up.
Yeah. He wore a red jersey, so it may damn well have been Maryland. But in college... He was far better than Michael Jordan was in college. I mean, he was like two Michael Jordans. He was a beast. He was unstoppable. And, you know, he had signed this big NBA contract and wound up dead on a toilet from...
Really?
From freebasing cocaine, yeah.
Okay, freebasing, yeah. You don't want to get into that. And also...
I freebased it. Well, I've smoked it. I don't know if I freebase or not, but I've smoked my share of coke over the years. Not in a long time. Seriously, 20 years. I have not smoked.
He had just that day been drafted to play for the Boston Celtics.
Yeah.
Well, that's the time you want to go nuts on the coke. I mean, celebration time. Come on.
Yeah.
I don't blame him. I can't be a hater.
Yeah, and apparently that was the first time he'd ever tried it, and basically his heart just exploded.
Yeah, but that then I have to say that as a heart problem rather than a cocaine problem.
Yes, yeah. And medically it's considered to be that way. Yeah. But Lee, or Booth, you've snored some cocaine.
Yeah, I mean, obviously with my job now,
I haven't done coke in easily 5 years, but. When you get really good coke, is it not an amazing drug? I mean,
cocaine's a hell of a drug.
Yes, And, you know, that whole whoever Tool or whoever did that 10 feet tall and bulletproof song, that is how you feel on it. I mean, you feel bigger. You feel so powerful and just, well, God damn.
I think we're going to save drug stories for a future podcast, Amy. But that's good.
Yeah, I know, yeah. I know. Thank you.
But I've definitely got some. But I would have to say, like, just right now, in answer to that, the best I've ever felt is not on coke. I mean, that never worked for me in that way. It's great and everything, but it really, I was kind of conscious of the fact that I was turning into a bit of an arsehole when I was on it. So for me, I had some really, really, really amazing speed one time that was just like rocket fuel, and that for me,
crystal meth.
I guess you probably would call it that over here. Yeah. We don't call it that over here, but yeah, that was incredible stuff. I mean, talk about bulletproof. I could have survived a full-on nuclear attack.
Yeah,
that night, definitely.
No, I did meth one time.
Wow.
And that was in college at Lees McRae, you know, B. That was 1989, I guess.
It's and a good year for meth.
Yeah. This fucking really hot girl brought it. And there were these dudes I used to sell pot to who were bikers. And they, you know, did other things. And anyway, this chick I was seeing.
An HBO show already.
Yeah.
Well, this chick I was seeing, like, I don't know. She got some free meth from them. And she said, well, this is supposed to be enough to get the two of us fucked up.
Mm.
And so we're like, okay, good. Let's do it. You know, we're drinking, smoking our pot like we usually do. And, like, first nostril hit, I could have gone into the ring with Mike Tyson. Not saying, granted, I was a gold glove boxer, you know, not saying I would not have gotten just my teeth knocked out, but I would have had
confidence. You wouldn't have cared about it, no.
I would have been ready and gone, please, come on. I would have called him Blackie before the bell rang.
Blackie Tyson.
Yeah.
You know, well, so that chick there, 1989, so if she stayed on the meth by now, she would look like...
Oh, Wendy. But she hasn't. She's an amazing specimen. And just
the
smart.
One that got away, huh?
No, because I fucked her for 2 years. But
eventually got away.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the thing was, man, she was so good and sweet and just kind and, like, she was so right. You know, she always did the right thing, and I fucked other girls, and it was always me that fucked stuff up. I mean, goddamn, about to psychoanalyze myself, but...
Tell us more about that.
How did that make you feel?
I'm sorry, our hour is up.
You know, another one of my favorite.
Yeah, but the other two were for Barbara as well. That's the problem.
Remember when you and I called him?
I don't know when.
Yeah, that's right, Russell.
Oh, right. I called him so many times. I called him the other night when he first came back to the site, and Jeff has this bounty. Like, you know, the person who prompted you to come here gets all these points, and you get the same.
That's right.
And I swear to God, dude, I just called him up and I was like, Larry, what's up, man? Glad you're back. Dude, you got to give me the post. You got to give me, you know, props for, you know, getting you back on the site because I'll get a lot of points and that matters. He got so worried and nervous. And he always stutters and stammers, but it was 10 times worse than usual. He was, to try to impersonate him would be tough. But it was something like, Dr. P, you know, Belasco kind of runs the site now, and I don't want any bad blood.
I saw that. It was like a bidding war.
So, of course, I turned it up a notch, and I was like, fuck that guy, dude. Come on. I got you. I've been calling you. I called you and wished you happy birthday. I've been sending you emails saying come back to the site. Come on, dude. You know, you probably deserve him, but he's that kind of guy. I just know he's the kind of guy, you know.
He's got a side to
me on this. He's got a he's got a good side and a bad side, you know. And people are either on Belasco's good side or their bad side, and I'm on his good side right now, and I want to keep it that way, and I don't want any trouble. I just don't want any trouble. It was like he was in trouble for a drug deal, dude. He was so nervous and fucking freaking out.
I've got the audio, so I can talk freely,
but go ahead.
I pulled the audio of him on Bubba yesterday, so I'll snip that out and I'll post that up because he's going for some all-time record stuttering on that one as well. So.
That'll be some interesting nice. Listening.
Then we'll know what we're talking about.
He was about to shit his pants over nervousness on who to give credit to for him coming back to the site because...
Well, I noticed you got the credit in the end, though.
Huh?
You got the credit in the end.
Oh, nobody got the credit. It doesn't matter, but he did say that. He did post that, you're right. But, you know, Jeff had posted, you know, goddammit, at least say... I'm the reason, so, you know, you came back, so I get the points. And I called him immediately after that, and I was like, don't you dare give him credit. And, man, he was so nervous and so just freaked out. It was so important. It mattered so much. And, of course, I played up to that. I was like, dude, those points matter. I need every point I can get. I change user titles with that. I mean...
Yeah, let me ask you this.
These points.
Let me ask you this, and, Dr. P. Did you get the points?
Oh, hell, I don't think anybody got the points.
Nobody got the points.
No.
It's because he didn't pay attention to what I said. I said, you have to mention it in your first post back.
You're a stickler.
He didn't mention anyone in that post, so it doesn't matter anyway.
Right. Larry was right. Belasco has got a bad side to him, and now it's coming out.
But, Lee, he was just like, I still want to be your friend, but I don't want to be on the bad side. And he kept going back to that. It was so weird. He was like, he's just the kind of guy. He's got a good side or a bad side, and I'm on the good side. I want to stay there, man. You know? It was like he was fucking, you know,
like good old days.
Dealing with a drug cartel. It was crazy. And that just made me, like, ramp it up more, going, those were my points, Larry. You know, and I did. I literally did. God damn, more entertaining than anything I'll say on this show is what I was saying to Larry, just like screaming, those points are mine.
The worst job I ever had. I was still in high school. I think I was in either 10th or 11th grade. I could drive anyway. And there was a textile plant called JNC Dyeing. And a couple other guys on the football team worked there. And they made a lot of money. And, like, you know, weed, good weed was 35 a quarter back then. And
it always comes back to drugs.
I know.
Well, and, dude, you're sitting there complaining about your shitty car, Sav. You had a goddamn Mustang. I drove a Chevette. And not only a Chevette, a diesel Chevette.
I had a Maverick, too.
I drove a Chevette. Anyway.
I had a Pontiac Ventura.
I can't put a funny spin on this. They just dyed textiles. That's what this fucking plant did. I cleaned winders. And there are these winders that the yarn, after the dyeing processes, have all been through. And you blow them out with compressed air. Then a detergent. You just walk by with a squeeze bottle. And, dude, you would not think squeezing a little spray bottle could cramp your hands. But you get to the point, you can't decide which hand it'll even work in anymore. And, you know, and goddamn, I was a 16-year-old athletic kid. I could not squeeze the fucking bottle. I was pushing it with my palm of the hand, you know. But anyway, dude, it was so fucking horrible. I would blow out whatever color snot the yarn was in that bin I'd worked on when I would sneeze or blow my nose.
You know? Was confetti.
It was not. But if it was bright blue, bright green, bright, you know, black. But, dude, and I'll just end it with this. I was told so many times that if I worked hard and kept a really good work record, didn't come in late, in no time, I could come on full time as a sweeper. That is a 12-hour shift of sweeping lint. And, man, it pays great. That's what and you know, yeah, you can make, I don't know, maybe 20.
I think I'd rather finger paint a dude's ass and have my eyeballs poked out.
Yes.
Jesus.
Dude, I had a
buddy. Before I went to university, I was in community college because I thought I wanted to do radio. And I had a regular, you know, 5-night-a-week shift. So I had to stay at the station, you know, for long hours. And at the time, I wasn't working because I was spending so many hours there. I was like, man, I need to find something I can do, you know, like some kind of job on campus so I can stay on campus and make some money and still be able to do my shift. Well, I was desperate to make some cash, so I took a job on the cleaning crew. And I tell you, there is nothing that will hurt your ability strike up a conversation with the ladies than when they see you coming out of a bathroom you just cleaned.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Humiliating.
You can't even segue away from that either. There's like no possible, like after work, fuck it, forget about it.
Yeah, they've seen it. They've seen it, and it's burned into their memory, and you're just like, God. I did that for maybe a month before I just couldn't do it anymore. I was like, no.
I had to. It wasn't really super humiliating, but when I was, as all of you know, I had spent a lot of time as just a part-time second job working for Domino's Pizza, and you know, they had that fucking Noid costume. On the surface, it seems embarrassing, but it was actually kind of like a fun thing that we wanted to do. Like when we weren't going on deliveries, we'd all be pining. We'd be like, dude, get the fucking Noid. Oh, yeah. You know, it was like this killer, like, let's dress in the Noid. Because the bottom line is it's not really humiliating for you because people can't see who's wearing the Noid. And you always make sure when you take off and put on the outfit that you're doing that in private so no one sees you coming and going. So, but it was kind of funny more than humiliating. But the part that people would think, oh, that must be humiliating. No, that's not actually the horrible part about wearing the Noid is it's like a pressure cooker for one.
Oh.
And two, it stinks to high heaven because God knows how many people have worn that thing. And do they wash it? Fuck no, they don't wash it.
Can you wash it? Can you just throw that Noid in the –
Hell no, man. His head is the size of like fucking St. Jimmy's.
You can't just – yeah, he's got St. Jimmy head. You can't just throw it in the fucking laundry, you know.
Yeah, it's too big. Socks. It has to be – I don't even know if it can be dry cleaned or whatever. I don't know how dry cleaned. But you can't do – you just got to let it sit there and fester and just pray to God that you don't die of some kind of, like, malarian bullshit.
Fucking hep cue in there or something.
Yeah, oh, dude, it's disgusting. So, like, at first, like I said, we'd all be wanting to wear this Noid costume just as a goof. And then it lost its luster real quick after about two or three tries. You're like getting out of that thing and you're like, oh, motherfucker, where's the water? Because you're dying of heat exhaustion. And then you take a big whiff and you want to hurl.
All right, well, back in back when I was about 19 years old, I had a mate, well, he's still one of my best mates, Dave, who is one of the million Daves that I know. So we nicknamed him Dave as well. So we called him Dave.
Dave
somehow, he's always been a bit of an entrepreneur. And he decided that because we were all doing a lot of speed at the time, he would start dealing it. You know, so he set himself up as a bit of a baron. But by the time he got hold of it, it was so stepped on that it was virtually useless. You know, it really was rubbish. He only did it for about 2 weeks. And so we used to go out on a Wednesday night, and I used to have to work on a Thursday morning, right? So I can't even believe, like, think, oh, Jesus Christ, what a ridiculous, horrible life. But I used to do this. We used to go out on a Wednesday night and do this stuff, and then I'd go to work at about 5:30 on a Thursday morning where I worked in the butchery of Tesco supermarket, cut up some animals, you know, and have to take a bit more stuff as well to get me through that. And then finish about 2:30. So on the Wednesday night, it gets to about half past 9, 10 o'clock, and I'm saying to Dave, I said, this is not working at all. This is rubbish. And he said, yeah, I know. Have some more, right? So, you know, it's in this thick, thick black wraps of speed. Okay. So he gives me like a handful of it and goes, yeah, it's all shit, but have some more. So it comes to the end of the night, and we went up. It was so bad that I was still hungry when we went to the Chinese takeaway. Wow. Yeah, got some Chinese. Just as we're coming out, a friend of mine comes past in a car. Right? He goes, jump in, we'll give you a lift home. Okay, nice one. We get in the car. He goes to turn, he pulls down this road to turn around. He's indicating to go left. A police car comes down the road. He indicates right. So they're all of a sudden, they're like, oh, fucking hell. Something, what's wrong with his car? What's going on? You know, we're sitting in the back of his car. There's me, Shane, Dave, the driver, and another bloke, one of his friends. He turns right. Police car turns straight around, starts flashing us, pull over.
Oh, no.
At which point, the driver and the bloke in front jump out the car and start running and leave us in the back. We've all got pockets full of these thick black wraps of speed, right? No warning. So we all, you know, what could he do? We jumped out as well and started running. ran down this alleyway, ran the back of these houses, and I'm saying to Shane and Dave, all right, boys, what we've got on us, you've got to get rid of all this stuff. At which point, a police car pulls up behind us with its headlights, you know, full on. You know, we're jammed in there. So we've got to somehow get rid of all this stuff while in the full glare of headlights. Well, I start pulling it all out of my pockets and pinging it over fences, right? Trying to do it as far, you know, just in front of me so the police car can't see.
Right.
But I can't believe he couldn't see it. So I get rid of all of it and we walk out onto the main road, at which point there's another 3 police cars pulled up.
No.
Yeah, they blocked the road off. Blocked the road off.
Oh, no.
Get hold of us, separate us all, and say, right, what are you doing? What's going on? Right? So I just thought, well, look, deny everything. I said, I don't know what's going on. I'll be honest with you. He goes, well, where are you going? I said, I'm going home. He goes, where do you live? I told him where I live. He said, that's not, you know, where have you been? That's not, you're going in the wrong direction, all this. I said, look, we just accepted a lift from 2 dudes. You pull up. Everyone ran out of car. I weren't going to stay there. Right? So he starts saying to me, right, he goes, empty your pockets. Okay. And I'm standing next to this wall in front of someone's terraced house, you know. Okay, empty your pockets. So I start pulling out all that stuff, you know. I don't care. I've got rid of it all now. Start putting it down on the wall. Meanwhile, he's saying to me, right, son, you can't pull the wall over my eyes. I've been on the falls for 28 years now. He was in his, like, late 50s. It's copper. I've been on the falls for 28 years now. I've seen them all. Everyone's tried to, you know, pull all the tricks on me. I know exactly what's going on here. So I said, I don't know what you're talking about, officer. You know, blah, 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 blah. He's talking to me. I'm talking to him. I looked down about 2 minutes later. And there on the wall, along with my money, my keys, my wallet, all that, is one big, fat, black wrap of this speed.
Oh, no.
Sitting on the wall. It's been sitting there since I turned my pockets out. I didn't know I had it. And he's giving me, you know, he's Columbo. He knows everything that's going on, apart from this thing that's right in front of him. So, at which point, I knocked it off the wall. I just went to turn around, knocked it off the wall, like kind of averted his attention over that way somehow, I don't know, like Derren Brown, and knocked it off the wall with my other hand, and like I heard the biggest sound I've ever heard in my life as it slapped down onto some kind of concrete ledge behind it. You know, boom, like that. And I thought, you must have heard that. But, you know,
yeah.
So I guess it stopped hearing that frequency. So, then I start putting things back in my pockets. Like, that was my only excuse of why my hand would be there in the first place. And he goes, what are you doing? What are you doing? I didn't tell you to put your hands back in your pockets. All right, come on. And then he searched me properly. And I'm thinking, fucking all right, I ain't got no more of that on me anywhere. But I didn't.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so that was it. He starts questioning me. He never found out what was going on with the car. I don't know whether anyone else told him. And eventually they just let us go. You know, and he goes, right, you know, don't... Next time a police officer asks you anything, you just tell the truth straight away, son. It's the best thing to do. Blah, 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 blah. And I'm just thinking, fuck it.
28 years on the force. I 28 know
years on the force.
On.
Jesus Christ. Got away with it.
Hey, dude, I've got it. Literally a 60-second one tops.
Okay.
I was in high school, I would say 10th. Anyway, we were getting high and driving around, and there was this kid that I shouldn't call him, only a year younger than we were, but he was a real punk, and he was small. He was a diminutive guy, small stature, 98 pounds soaking wet, you know, just... And his name was so perfect, and he was very energetic, like he was on coke all the time. His name was Lee Kale. And
wow.
If anyone ever listens to this who is a Facebook friend of mine, you know who Lee Kale is if you're from Shelby, North Carolina. He went to school with us all. He's a little just, you know, little tiny, just excitable, weird dude. One day, me and a couple of buddies of mine scored some amazing weed, at least for 1991 or whenever. You know, real indoor high test shit, like is everywhere now. But so we're driving around and load up a pipe, and we all are hitting this weed and passing it around. And my buddy Dave is driving. I'm in the passenger seat. Lee, and I want to say another guy, but I'm not positive, we're in the back seat, and we're just passing the fucking bowl around, packing it up and, you know, having a good time. And he's playing, like, this was also, you got to think of the year. We're 91, 92, 93 at latest. And he's playing, like, Flaming Lips, which... is the weirdest sounding music.
Yeah, back then it was freaky shit.
Yes. Especially if you're high on pot. You know, it's like, wow, this is not how rock and roll... It's totally rock and roll I'm listening to, but the layers of the sound and the weird things they do, you know, in between tracks are not normal. And we're all just tripping out and enjoying it and laughing and going, wow, yo, bro. You know, just doing your pot stuff. And suddenly I realize we've been talking, and Lee in the back seat hasn't said shit for a long time. I look back, put my arm over the headrest, and I'm, hey, Lee, you doing all right back there? And he kind of trembles and goes, what did you fuckers do to me? What did you asshole spike this with? This shit has chemicals, man. And the front seat of the car exploded with laughter so hard. This shit has chemicals, man. Yeah, called THC. Jesus Christ. You know, we were so used to getting really high and it being kind of unusual. Even at this young age where you shouldn't be, really. I start smoking dope early. But this guy was so freaked out, and the explosion of just, you spiked it for fucking passing my bowl of weed. is one of the all-time. And seriously, he won't even accept my friend requests on Facebook now.
He's still pissed.
Oh, dude, but we all laughed at him and told the story to somebody. We all laughed at him. You know, his name, he wanted his nickname to be The Kid, and it suddenly became Chemicals. So, you know, it's like, oh, shit, who's coming over? Chemicals, and, you know, oh, he hated that. Because he freaked out and just was, like, almost in fetal position. He wasn't bent over, but he still was, like, had his hands on each shoulder and was kind of rocking back and forth. And just, what do you spike this with? It's got chemicals in it, man. And his response was not, oh, it'll be cool, dude. Come on. It's a little weird. Relax. No, it was, ha, ha, ha.
I blew it softer.
Yes, it was just exploding. You dumb fucking fuck.
Oh, wow.
You.
That reminds me a bit of the time when we got a cab back from a club. When we were all tripping our nuts off, and we was with this other guy, and we didn't really know that well. He was a friend of Dave's, and we did a no one back in those days. Look, I was young.
Oh, okay.
When someone kind of explodes out of the cab and goes runner, you know, that was it. So you're doing a runner from the cab.
We needed a phrase like that back then.
Okay, yeah, runner, doing a runner. And we left this guy, Laurie, in the back of the cab. We didn't know what was going on. He was kind of, you know, tripping his fucking bollocks off. Who ended up getting having to pay the whole fare, I would guess, and an irate cab driver to placate. So, you know, don't need that when you're fucking. Oh, and that stuff.
I'll ring him for that.
And that will do it for this episode of the SweetFeatheryJesus.com podcast. We appreciate you listening. If you're not a subscriber to the podcast, you can find us in iTunes. Just go to the podcast section and search for Sweet Feathery Jesus. It's pretty easy to find. We should pop right up. If you want to comment on this podcast or anything else, you can email me at Belasco@SweetFeatheryJesus.com. And make sure you visit our message board. There's a lot more laughs to be had over there. That's at SweetFeatheryJesus.com. Also, keep in mind that you can hear this podcast now on the Revere Radio Network. That's at revereradio.net, Tuesday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back on September 15th with another episode of the podcast. And keep in mind, we're going to be doing the movie club from Sweet Feathery Jesus. The first movie we're going to be talking about will be Heat. And that's going to be coming up very soon on the site and on this very podcast. So stay tuned. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next time.
Run on.